it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
At Fenway Park in Boston, the Orioles and the Red Sox in the first of a three-game series. Now, for the Orioles, it's not about winning a division title. They trail Boston by 11 games. But it is about staying in the wild card race. The good news is Zach Britton, his knee is okay. Buck Showalter in a moment, and the manager's report right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, first of all, back in Boston, it's been a little while. Would you like to think at least that all the controversies from the previous visits here finally over, finally behind you, and we're just going to talk about baseball this weekend?
For us or the people that cover it?
Either way.
Well, we know. Who knows, Rock? We don't pay attention to it. We didn't when we were here. And, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, what do you call it, fake drama. Mm-hmm. But you have to deal with it. And I don't know, it's not a topic conversation, but it's something you deal with, just part of playing here. And, you know, you look at your schedule, you're just glad you're not playing here in September when 40-man roster's in this locker room. You got to dress and shift, so that was a break for us. But if you could pick one place not to play in September, we hope we're playing here in October.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're in first place in a division. What is it about them that's made them so good this year?
Just so much depth that obviously some of the resources allow them to have, you know, whether it be but also they've got a good farm system they take advantage of. But when you can run Sale and Porcello and Price and Pomerantz and those guys like that out there, you know, you're going to have some real consistency and really shortens the number of outs you have to get out of their bullpen. They just a good club. You know, there's not a real weakness. They defend, they run, they hit the ball out of the park when they need to. And it's a good all-around club that's put together well.
Maybe the one of the things that'll serve as a distraction from all the past nonsense, it's players' weekend here. What's your thought on this? Is it one of those things where you figure if the players like it, if the fans like it, if it's supposedly good for baseball, then you just kind of go along?
No, I applaud it. I think anything's got a chance to get our youth involved in our game more. Let people that are a lot that really think about those things and ways to do it, we go along with it. It's got a chance to be good. And, regardless if you're wearing a fluorescent orange hat, you just assume the position and put it on.
You don't think that hat's going to be a big seller?
Well, I think for the hunters it will be. Mm-hmm. The thing about hunting, if you ever wonder about hunting, is you're doing something that requires you to put on a bright orange hat so somebody doesn't shoot you. Does that seem a little strange? It's like driving. I'm not worried so much about me. I'm worried about the other person that's driving,
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Sounds like he got good news on Zach Britton's MRI.
Yeah, pretty much what he's been dealing with for quite a while. And he'll be fine. We're not going to broadcast what we're going to do as far as his pitchability. But, he had yesterday off, and he feels pretty good today. So, we just wanted to make sure there wasn't any, and Zach did too. They wanted to make sure there was nothing changed with the structure. So that was good news. And, we'll go forward.
What can you tell us about the roster move today?
Well, Dylan's grandmother passed away, and he's headed there. The funeral's on Monday and at 10 a.m., and he'll probably the plan is for him and Bobby, his brother who pitches for us in minor leagues, to head back to Baltimore on Monday. And we'll see whether he pitches Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how his travel plans go.
And J.J. Hardy's staying on the rehab assignment. How are the reports on him?
Good. Like we said, and we thought the last thing that's going to come is the way his shoulder feels strength-wise. He's been, it's very much the same thing he goes through every spring. And when that gets right, then J.J. will be back.
And lastly, you mentioned Rick Porcello earlier. Won the Cy Young, obviously, last year in the American League. Numbers not there this year. What's the thought on him and what's happened?
He's been pitching real well, and he's in the top 10 in innings pitched, which tells you what type of guy he is. And he's going to continue. That's another thing they do real well. They pitch deep in the game with their starters. So, he's starting to pitch like that guy that won the Cy Young last year. So that doesn't bode well. We got to be on top of it.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Dylan Bundy is on the bereavement list, and Mike Wright is in the Oriole bullpen tonight. Mike Wright and Jim Hunter, they got together before the game today. You're going to hear that conversation when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
At Fenway Park in Boston, it is clear, but it is cool tonight. A hint of autumn in the air as the Orioles and Red Sox open up this three-game weekend series. Mike Wright is back with the O's. We'll chat with the right-hander after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles in Boston tonight, game one of a three-game weekend series before heading right back home to Camden Yards to begin a 10-game homestand. And Mike Wright is back with the team, called up today. And when you were hurt, when you went down on the DL in June, it was a shoulder. And I'm just wondering, in that time that you were here, you were making the transition from starting to relieving. Is there anything that you can trace to that move that may have led to your injury?
It's definitely a lot more reps in a shorter amount of time. You know, you go back-to-back days, you have one day off, there's no bullpens in between, and there's not really that day off after you start that you can let your arm relax. So, it's just getting used to it, you know, because it's been since 2010 that I was out of the bullpen like that.
Do you feel that with your stuff that the bullpen in the big leagues may be where your ultimate role is, because you have outstanding stuff, and it seems to me that when you do pitch in relief, because it's fewer innings, your velocity's better.
When you're out there for 15 pitches or 20 pitches or whatever it may be, you're throwing it as hard as you can the whole time, and it's been a big question, you know, ever since I was coming up. It's why does your velo fluctuate here and there, and it's like, you know, if you're throwing 100 pitches and you throw 100 pitches as hard as you can, it's going to be hard to recover, especially for a full career. So, I'm just going to do whatever they ask me. And if it's out of the pen, it's out of the pen. If it's starting, it's starting.
Do you like relieving? Do you like coming into a game that way?
I like the possibility of playing in every game. That's fun. That's one thing especially when I first went to college, you know, it was the first time I was a full-time pitcher. It was fun, you know, constantly being a part of the game and, you know, having that possibility of helping the team every day. So, I like the routine of starting, and, you know, obviously that's where everybody wants to be as a starter and, you know, eat up some innings. But, you know, like I said, I'm here just to help the ball club right now.
When you were pitching in AAA at Norfolk, I was looking at your innings, and it looked like they were stretching you out just in case. That's also got to be a tough transition because, as you say, when you come here, you don't know how you're going to be used, but you have to be ready just in case.
Right, and I know when I come here and I'm out of the bullpen, I'm not one of the seventh, eighth guys, you know, like Givens and Brock and O'Day and what those guys have earned. I'm the inning eater, the bridge to those guys, so I know I'm going to be throwing two or three innings. And, so it's good that I got my pitch count back up. It's all the way back up to 100, and, if they need me to throw that, I'll do that.
You know, but it is a very key role on a team that is hoping to play in October, and you look back to Wednesday's game that went 12 innings. Miguel Castro pitched 3 2/3 scoreless. If he gives up a run, the Orioles might not win it. You could fit right into that role as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he's in the same role, you know, I'm in. We're that bridge right now, and, you know, it's an important role, even though, you know, it's kind of the shuffling of the cards or the shuffling of the, you know, Norfolk Tide shuttle. But it's just as important as everything else. You know, you got to eat up those innings. Every inning is important. And, he's done a great job, and he's deserved to stay here. And, it's just exciting to watch him pitch every time he goes out there.
Okay, you're back just in time for Players Weekend. Everybody's excited about it. Adam Jones was showing me his custom-made bats with his son's and his wife's name on the bats instead of his name. Now, on the back of your jersey, I understand it will say Bird. Tell me about Bird and why you chose that.
When I first went to college, I had my hair grown out, and everybody knows what my hair looks like. It's pretty fro-tastic and curly and kind of everywhere. So when I first went to college, I was 165 pounds, super skinny with that head of hair. And my college coach was like, oh my gosh, you look just like Big Bird. And so from then on, everybody called me Bird, you know, Big Bird. And that's just kind of stuck.
Now, I'm told that you can't put Big Bird on your jersey because the guy from Sesame Street actually owns that.
Yeah, it works out because, like I said, most of my teammates just called me Bird anyway. They took the big out of it.
Now, back here with the team, how are the players reacting to this weekend? I noticed some of the players' jerseys, it's simply their name. Wade Miley doesn't have a nickname on his. I happen to see that hanging in there. Are some players more into this than others, being that this is the first time?
Absolutely. I think there's always a bit of personality that comes out with, what you wear and how you do things. And there's obviously some guys who are super modest. They want to wear the all black and white cleats, not even any orange. But, there's definitely some excitement, especially around the bats. You know, everybody's showing off their bats. And we get to wear our shirts with organizations on it, and it's fun to see what guys are supporting.
And your foundation that you have back home when the season is over, that's going to be on your sleeve. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, Kristen texted me last night and was asking me, you know, do you have any T-shirts? And, you know, obviously I just got called up yesterday, so it's not like I can really rush anything here. But I woke up early this morning, found a T-shirt company, and I, you know, put Wright State of Mind on it. And, you know, I was excited I could get that done, and, you know, I can really support our nonprofit.
And what does your foundation do?
It's to help support dementia and dementia patients and also the caregivers. You know, one of the biggest things is, you know, yes, my mom has dementia and obviously she's suffering the most, but it also affects the entire family. And especially like my sister, who's her main caregiver, and, you know, the stresses that go into that. And it's obviously very helpful to help the people surrounding it.
So Mike Wright trying to call attention to folks who suffer from dementia and his foundation, which he runs back in his home in North Carolina, very, very involved with that cause. So Mike Wright doing a real good job with that. He's back from AAA Norfolk. Dylan Bundy on the bereavement list. Dylan's grandmother passed away. And Mike Wright at AAA, he had been in the rotation. In fact, his last five appearances were all starts, as they were trying to stretch him out just in case. He last worked August 18th against Toledo, and he went 6 2/3 innings for AAA Norfolk. Now, for the Orioles this year, he did get into some games early on. From May 31st until June 14th, he was with the club, and he got into six games, no decisions. His ERA 5.56. He allowed 7 earned runs in 11 1/3 innings. And then on June the 16th, he was placed on the disabled list because of tenderness and tendonitis in his pitching shoulder. He was sent down to Sarasota, where he worked with Dave Walker at the rehab center at Ed Smith Stadium, was able to gain the strength back. Then he was optioned back to AAA to get into pitching shape, and he is back here tonight at least for this weekend series, as Dylan Bundy expected to rejoin the team on Monday when the O's get back home from this three-day road trip. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park in Boston. Orioles had a delightful time tonight as they come up with a season high of 16 runs. They equal their season high of 20 hits. And along the way, the Boston Red Sox, they commit 5 errors, and they did that in the first 5 innings, and that's what got the Orioles on a roll here tonight. They win the ballgame 16-3. So they win the first of a 3-game series. And for the first time since August 7th, the Orioles have won back-to-back games. And the Orioles, in that wild card picture tonight, pick up a little ground. That's always a nice thing to hear. So it was Jeremy Hellickson, the starter, in the first game of this 3-game series against Rick Porcello, who came into the game tonight having won 4 consecutive starts. So he was on a roll. But tonight his teammates, well, he wasn't very good pitching-wise, and his teammates here tonight were not very good defensively. It all began right away in the first inning. One out, Manny Machado got a base hit. And then Scope got a base hit. Adam Jones came up to hit, and that's when, the barrage began. Adam, line drive, oh boy, knocked down by Porcello. He's going to go to second base, and he throws it into center field. Machado coming in to score. Scope goes to third. Everybody is safe, and it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. That ball was hit like a rocket right back to Porcello. Somehow he got a glove on it, knocked it down, and then raced over, picked it up. He tried to get the out at second base. He had time to do that, but he threw the ball away. He did, and that was Boston's initial error. And then Mancini came up to hit. And now Porcello with a 1-0 delivery. Mancini fly ball right center. Pretty well hit. On the run, Rajan Davis near the warning track in the gap to make the catch. Here comes Cope. He will tag. There goes Jones. And Papo is into second base, sliding safely. And it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. And Mancini began his big night, as did the Orioles. And then in the second inning against Rick Porcello, Trumbo was the leadoff hitter, and he got a pitch up around his eyes. There's a fly ball out toward right center. Out there toward the bullpen. This ball is way back there. Pipe it, bye-bye. My goodness. Trumbo got a pitch maybe shoulders high, and he tomahawks it out of Fenway Park into the bullpen in right center. His 20th home run, and it's a 3-0 Oriole lead. How about that? Trumbo going deep. Amazing that ball got out. Castillo then singled, and then Smith was on base on another Boston error, and then later Beckham was on base on another error, and then Machado got a base hit. He stole second base, and the Red Sox continued to struggle defensively. And the veteran again, ready, sets, he delivers. And a breaking ball, a slider, a swing, and a miss. The throw to second base winds up in center field. So here comes another run. Beckham comes in, and there goes Machado. He'll go to third. So Manny gets a steal. The run scores. Now it's 5-0 Orioles, and we have an injury at second base. Yeah, second baseman Eduardo Nunez was injured on that stolen base. He had to leave the game. So the Orioles had a 5-0 lead. At that point, the Red Sox had already made a bunch of errors. In fact, three of them. Now, in the bottom of the second inning, Mitch Moreland was on base on an error by the second baseman, Jonathan Scope, a throwing error in that shift in right field. And then Bogarts came up to hit, and briefly, the Red Sox, well, they got back in the game. The 0-2 now to Bogarts as Hellickson is at the belt and delivers. Fly ball, deep left, way back in the corner, way back there in the monster seats. That is a two-run home run. Xander Bogarts, his eighth, to make it 5-2. Yep, so the Red Sox, yep, back in the game ever so slightly until Davis came up in the third.
2-1 pitch, swinging a high fly ball, center field and deep. Back on it is Rajay Davis looking up, and that ball is gone. It carries out of here to deep left center field. So the O's get one of those runs right back as Davis goes deep. And the Orioles lead is now 6-2.
So there you go. The big fella going deep at Fenway Park. And then came the fifth inning. That was the inning that really put the game away. Orioles got 7 runs on 7 hits. And there were 2 more Boston errors. It all began on a single by Scope. And then one away, Mancini came up to hit. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Mancini, ground ball up the middle, into center. That's a base hit. Here comes Scope, and he will score without a play. The ball back into second base, and Mancini has knocked in his second run tonight. It is now 7-2 Orioles. Yeah, 7-2. Then Davis was safe on a fielder's choice. Trumbull got a base on balls. Castillo was on base on a fielder's choice. And then Seth Smith, he came up and cashed in. Porcello with a look at third, and the 1-2 pitch. Smith, line drive over left field, over short. That's a base hit. One run is in. Here comes the second run. Here comes the throw. It is wide and late. Smith, a 2-RBI single. He goes opposite field. Davis scores. Trumbo scores. Going on contact. It is 9-2 Orioles. Yeah, and then Beckham came up, and he got in on the act. Beckham waits, count 2-2. Kelly delivers. And Beckham, fly ball, right field, heading for the corner. And so is Mookie back in the corner. And ball is, yep, it came back in play. It came back in play, and it bounces back in toward the infield. One run is in, and now Smith is coming in, and Beckham's going to wind up at second base. I think that ball hit the top of the railing in the right field corner and somehow came back in play alongside that pesky pole. But as it is, it's a two-run double. It is 11 now for the Orioles. Yeah, they are in command, totally in command. Then Machado singled, and then Scope, he continued the barrage. So Kelly again delivers to Scope. Breaking ball, that's a base hit to left field. That ball hit hard right through the hole, so Beckham scampers in, and the ball back into third. Scope has had a 2-hit inning, and now he picks up an RBI. And for the Orioles, that's an even dozen, cousin. They lead it 12-2. Indeed. Then Jones came up. He singled, and so he got in on all the fun in that 7-run fifth inning. And eventually, they picked up even more with a 3-run seventh inning. One out, Scope a single, Adam Jones a double, and then Mancini ended his big night.
Here's the pitch, swinging a high fly ball to right. That chases Betts back way out there in right field. He reaches up, and it's off his glove, and it's in play. Scope around third, he will score. Jones being sent. Mancini's heading to third, and he is in with a stand-up triple. 2 more RBIs, and the Orioles' lead is now 15-3.
Yeah, well, eventually they made it 16-3, and that was the final score, as Jeremy Hellickson tonight goes 7 innings to get the victory.
2-1 the count. Hellickson deals, swinging a high pop-up near the bag at second base. Beckham is there. He's got it for the out. And the inning ends. So Hellickson does, in fact, get through 7 innings.
There you go. Yeah, he wins it, so he's not 2-2 with the Orioles, and he is not 8-7 for the year. Same two teams again tomorrow afternoon. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Buck Showalter, and who knows what else he has for the Orioles, a most interesting night at Fenway Park on the Orioles Radio Network.
So the Orioles win at 16-3 over the Red Sox. Let's hear from the skipper now. We'll head downstairs. Post-game comments. Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Buck, we were saying when you come to the ballpark any given day, you never know what you're going to see. I mean, I'm not sure I would have expected this, but what a night for your offense.
Well, you know, that's why they don't play it on computers and analytics, because what may appear one way on the paper, we felt like with Jeremy getting a couple extra days rest that he'd be carrying pretty good stuff. In regards to how many runs you score, you know, Jeremy was a big piece tonight. We needed to blow it down in the bullpen. We got fortunate. They played night game in Cleveland last night. That's another thing about the schedule, just not right. But we, the first time all year, we are always playing somewhere and a team's already in Baltimore waiting on us. But, you know, I think that had something to do with it.
Is Jeremy another like Bundy who you would like to have an extra day's rest for the rest of the season?
You know, with very few exceptions, Gary, through my career, whatever you want to call it, guys in August and September benefit. You don't get out of whack unless you're Jim Palmer, you know, who pitches on 3 and 4, you know, because we're creatures of habit. But this time of year, the guys that have been out there every fifth day benefit from it, with very few exceptions.
And the defense, even in the ballgame, you're having the big lead in throughout. I mean, there were some errors, but there were some really good defensive plays.
Well, they helped us a lot, obviously, but there's a lot of pressure that our guys put on them. But, you know, the play that Beck made, you love to see that type of guys still playing the game. And that was fun to see. I thought Smitty had a big hit there to open it up there to go to 9, because you never know how many runs are enough in this ballpark.
You feel like your bullpen now is where you'd like it to be for game two?
For game two.
Yeah.
You played day games here, and, you know, I feel good about our club when we left Baltimore. I thought that we kind of did some things that might have got us, you know, kind of over the hump a little bit. We'll see. It's always your momentum is your next starting pitcher.
All right. Well, can I ask you a final question? We were talking about position players. Position players pitching. Yes or no? Would you have a feeling on that? Should they be allowed to?
Well, you know, Moreland, in fact, some of our people, I know one of our scouts, felt like we should consider drafting him as a pitcher. He was a closer at some school called Mississippi State.
Yes.
And pitched well out of the bullpen. He's been doing a lot. In fact, for a long time with the Rangers, he did both. So it depends on who it is. Someone like Moreland, you feel fine with it. And Chris Stavis had a extensive background in pitching, but you better do your homework, because you don't want, like, what are you telling the guy that you pitch? You know, unless it's someone like Moreland, you're telling him we don't care about your arm, but we do care about everybody else's. That's always been tough for me. But, you know, they're fortunate to have a guy that's pitched a lot, and we have been in the past, but I'm not going to tell you who our pitcher is.
Skip, thank you.
Thank you.
Post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win the opener of this three-game series, 16-3 over the Red Sox. Well, on a big offensive night, 16 runs on 20 hits, Trey Mancini stands out. He went 3-for-5 plus a sac fly and had 4 RBIs on the night. Following the game, Trey Mancini, the walk-off interview on Masson with Gary Thorne and Mike Bordick.
Trey, congratulations on a real fine ball game here tonight. You just never know what you're going to see when you come to the yard, do you?
Yeah, you never do. You have absolutely no idea when you wake up in the morning and get to the yard what's going to happen. But it was definitely a good day for us today.
How about Jeremy Hellickson? A pretty strong performance. You guys coming off a big series against Oakland, and Hellickson stepping up today.
Yeah, he pitched a great game. And these aren't always the easiest games to pitch in, too, when you have a really long break between innings. And he did a great job of keeping himself loose and locked in the game. No matter what the score was, he was, came up with the same approach with every batter.
Well, you talk about a pitcher having a hard time. What about you offensively as a hitter? As the game progresses and you had 15 hits on the board, how hard is it to keep your focus and concentration throughout the ballgame?
It's not too bad. Everybody wants to get hits, no matter what the score in the game is. So I think everybody did a good job tonight of staying focused. And, every at-bat's just as important as the next. In the previous. So everybody wants to do well and get hits no matter what the score is there.
Trey, how about the triples you're picking up this year? You liking that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not really characteristic of me too much, but I'll take them for sure.
Down that line, any doubt in your mind? When did you decide you were going to go for 3 on that ball?
I didn't know. I was just hoping that he didn't catch it first. I forgot how deep it is out there. Once I saw it, like, deflect off his glove when he was running back, I just kind of took
off and already decided as long as I saw Adam go home, I was going to go to third there.
Hey, Trey, your experiences here in Fenway Park playing the Green Monster, well, what are your thoughts on that?
I really like it. It was the first time I played outfield in my life, actually, was back in April whenever I started and left here. So, it's definitely unique, and it's a you learn in BP pretty quick. I had to kind of reestablish myself out there in BP and remember how the ball hops off of there and everything. It's a one-of-a-kind structure out there for sure.
Trey, we'll give you one last question here. It's about your patch. You've got Blake Doyle written on your patch. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Blake, he was actually the hitting coach for the Rockies for the last couple years, but he's from my hometown since I was 12 years old. I took hitting lessons from him all growing up, and he was my mentor growing up for sure. Just pretty much taught me everything I know about hitting at a young age, and without him, I certainly wouldn't be here today. He's helped me along the way. He helped me get to Notre Dame, and he's been really important in my baseball life, and off the field too. I consider him a very close friend, and so I wanted to represent him for all the help he's done with me.
Trey, that's great. Wonderful. And it showed up tonight on the field. Congratulations and thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So Trey Mancini on Masson following the game in a nice gesture paying tribute to Blake Doyle, who helped him learn how to hit, and he certainly knows how to hit. He had a 3-for-5 night with 4 RBIs here tonight. 4 RBIs here tonight. 4 RBIs here tonight. 4 RBIs.